May we, rejoicing in her name and protection, be accounted worthy to be delivered from earthly evils and enter into eternal joys. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Church, these days in autumn, goes over her accounts and remembers her anniversaries. There are several in September for us, especially grouped around this 12th day of September, the Sunday after the Nativity of Mary, Solemnity of her Holy Name. Yesterday, already, the 9th anniversary of the infamous 9/11, when 3,000 fell in an hour or two. Do you remember how people felt that day and how they flocked to church for a Sunday or two afterwards? But the memory dims already in less than a decade for all of those dead, but also for the dangers we in our country and in what remains of Christendom, for all the dangers we face from our foe, including our hereditary enemy, the Mohammedan. But rather than being reduced to hateful frenzy by the media and TV in particular, we remember the heritage of our faith, the calm Catholic approach to these questions, loving our enemies, praying for their conversion, but also studying and renewing our knowledge of history in another time and place. For example, the Catholic Church has never shied away from burning books. It's odd that a Protestant preacher would have called for that, because there was a time in Catholic lands when the government burned Protestant preachers, but at the same time, in non-Catholic lands, how many Catholic martyrs were hung and then eviscerated alive and chopped up into quarters. But that was another world back then. Nevertheless, remember, the Muslims' sacred book, the Quran, at least shows a certain veneration of Mary. They love her, and that should make them, to us, at least a little bit lovable, too. They say that they even believe in her Immaculate Conception. And this, while the sacred text of the modern Jews, the Talmud, hatefully blasphemes Jesus and Mary. But to pass from this summer's battles, which need not detain us, the battle of the book and the battle of the mosque and so forth, let us consider a little bit about that history of ours, which it is all too easy for us to forget as we get too plunged into today and what our masters want us to be worrying about. Today, we observe two great anniversaries. Now, if all of you would love Our Lady and would pray the Rosary, that is to say, to meditate on these scriptural mysteries, why, we could easily make it three great victories today. The first of these takes us back to Spain, the Battle of Muret, the 12th and the 13th of September, the year 1213. It was a decisive victory for St. Dominic and the commander, Simon de Montfort. It was a victory of the conquistador, of the Rosary, which had newly been revealed. It was a victory over the anti-life forces of that time, grouped together as the Albigensian heresy. And also, September 11th through 12th, 1683, Our Lady's victory at Vienna in Austria against a far greater enemy. The Polish troops under King Jan Sobieski were so outnumbered, there were 300,000, they say, Muslims gathered together all around the gates of Vienna. What a number, 300,000. They say that in the same century, around that same time, a saint whose feast we kept this past week, Peter Claver, a Jesuit missionary father, baptized in his lifetime 300,000 African slaves in South America. Another great victory of God over the devil. Remember, no, and remember yesterday's victories. But there is a third anniversary, and yes, a victory I want to speak to you about today, which enables us to remember and to honor those whom we've known in this church over the now 30 years that St. Gertrude the Great has been in a church building, a whole generation, in effect. 998 years ago, in Belgium, near Brussels, died the poor man of Andrecht, as he was called, St. Guy, September 12th, the year 1012, is the anniversary of his death. He's the patron saint of sacristans and church workers and holy helpers and janitors and of fundraisers, too. Although he was a failure and did not win, when he gambled everything, still, he was not a loser. And in his light, I want to remember today and to thank so many people, some of whom are not with us, have moved away or moved on, but so many people who have stopped and who have helped us in this church in our history. I think of devoted sacristans and janitors and Holy Week helpers and florists and cleaners, volunteers, and those who were paid and those who were barely paid, who always have kept our church grounds and our church itself so beautiful for the love of God. But also, I think and thank today those who came forward with some good fundraising plan. All of the projects, all of the sales, all of the raffles from those recent jogathons that we had just a while ago, which were such a success, to the lowly original bake sale or Christmas craft sale. We appreciate them, all of these people, and we thank them who have stepped forward and run some kind of a fundraiser or another, as well as our behind-the-scenes benefactors of yesterday and today, whose generosity enables us to go forward with confidence to tomorrow. But of course, in all of this, God reads the heart, the good intention someone has for his glory, rather than the earthly accounting, the sums and the figures, even though it is important that they should end up at the end of the year in the black so that we can pay all of our bills. This saint whose anniversary we keep today, you've probably never heard of. As I say, St. Guy was someone who gambled his life savings, and he lost. But then he gambled his life itself for God, and he won. He was a rather a quixotic figure. Do you remember that street person, patron saint of homeless pilgrims, Saint Benedict Joseph Labre, who lived in that same century, the 17th, or that reformed Irish alcoholic who lived in modern times, Matt Talbot? He was a bit like these men. His wandering led him one day to a great shrine of Our Lady outside of Brussels, at Laeken it was called, the Basilica. And he was so devout and regular, as he spent some time there, the priest noticed him and asked him if he wouldn't like a job, if he wouldn't like to live there permanently and be the sacristan. And so he did. And in short order, he had everything in good order. And all of the church plate was shining bright, and there wasn't a cobweb to be seen or a speck of dust, and there were flowers and glowing lamps everywhere before the shrines. His other great love, St. Guy, was that of the poor. He was always doing anything he could to help them. Knowing this, and probably with the best of intentions in the world, a local successful businessman approached St. Guy in the church one day and shared with him a fundraising plan that he had come up with. He wanted to equip a ship for trade with the Orient and invited Guy to invest all of his life savings in this project, telling him that he could become one of his partners. And when the ship came back, laden with spices and silks from the East, why, Guy would receive such a return that the needs of the church and all of the poor would be more than taken care of for the future. We talked a bit about gambling yesterday. You know, that idea of some incredible sum just waiting for you in the state lottery, and how almost irresistible is that temptation, those mind-boggling winnings, and you think of the good that you could do as you lay down your dollar week after week or more. Well, that's what St. Guy thought of, the good he could do. And he could perhaps be forgiven if he quit his job and gave all of his life savings to this merchant. And they stood together at the harbor of that Belgian port city, and they watched the ship sail off and sink before it ever hit the open seas. Gulp. Now what was he to do? He had lost all of his money, and he had lost his job. Someone else had already taken it. Well, as a penance, and believe me, back then it was no vacation but a penance to travel, he went on foot as a pilgrim to Rome, and then he continued it in very penitential and dangerous circumstances by going to the Muslim-dominated Holy Land when his life would actually be in danger. There, venerating the sacred places, still doing penance for what he viewed as his folly, he met a priest and a group of pilgrims from his own native village, Andracht. They'd all fallen ill, and he nursed them. One after another, they died, and he himself got sick. But having finished his devotions, he was able to drag himself back to Belgium, and he went back to his own town. And there, having heard what he had done, the local priest took him in, this homeless pilgrim, and nursed him until he died. Why? Because we Catholics take care of each other. And he died, and he was buried in a pauper's grave. And all of a sudden, there started miracles. God glorified this homeless gambler. And there were so many people that he was canonized. And his name comes down to us on the anniversary of his death. The man who lost became a winner. And so may you, regardless of how much or how little you've ever managed to give in time or in money to this church, to Almighty God in service. It is the love with which you do it which will show up in the accounting and which will put your soul in the black. Well, if only each one of you would remember that the love of Our Lady makes good, it makes great, the smallest of investments on your part. Three Hail Marys, one decade, could make a difference for eternity, for you or for someone else for whom you pray. There are no losers in Our Lady's lottery, and to win is not a matter of luck, but of love. Take your life's winnings. Take all of your talents, and take your time and your prayer, and you can multiply them beyond the highest stakes imaginable, and still you will never have dreamed of what waits for those who win life's lottery. Eternal joys, which start when God does the accounting. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.